Welcome to season 3 of Conversations with Coaches. This is a stakeholder-centered coaching production where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. I'm Brandon Murgard, your host for the show. This season, we go deep into the case study library to discuss the real-life challenges of leaders and the coaches who help them succeed. As an added bonus, we're giving away the latest installment of our case study library, which includes case study summaries, show notes from each episode, and ways you can connect with the guest. Get your copy today at mgscc.net/case-studies. In this episode, we're joined by Joseph Lerner, a multifaceted coach renowned for integrating personal passions in his leadership coaching. Today, Joseph shares his journey working with a senior leader in the accounting field, challenged with the weight of perfectionism and the struggle with delegation skills that generally accompanies it. Through Joseph's unique blend of stakeholder-centered coaching and his own innovative processes, we'll uncover how Joseph's approach led to significant leadership development, productivity gains, and a meaningful increase in perceived self-worth. Join in as we dive into this compelling story of self-discovery. Come on in and let's find out more about the client.
So my client was in the accounting space, and the challenges of that in itself are very cyclical. And so to take the time to improve oneself requires taking a pause. And so what I was challenged with is to help her grow from a senior manager to a director. And I say her specifically because women in leadership roles have a whole other set of challenges that they need to address. And so we sort of doubled up on what it means to be a leader and what it means to help with the perfectionist tendencies.
Excellent. And what specifically was their articulation of the growth area that they were aiming to address with you as their coach?
Sure. So the main goal was to reduce the holding on to everything. But as you progress in an organization, it's important to delegate so you can move up. And it was unfathomable that others could do the work at the same level that she was doing. And so we had to help her through that anxiety to let go and let things happen. And at the same time, recognize that there's this self-image of being this white-collar professional as you move up in an organization, and to help somebody visualize what that means, what they might aspire towards. So those were the two challenges.
Excellent. And who reached out to you? Was it the leader? Was it HR or someone else?
So it was actually a national HR referral from another office that I work with in Los Angeles to a different location. And so in making that referral, they said that we've had some success working with my organization in a different category and that they thought that this would be helpful.
Awesome. Okay. So our context here is we've got a leader working on delegation. They're in a cyclical environment of working in accounting, letting go of these perfectionistic tendencies, working to present themselves as a leader. And it's very cool that you were brought in because you've already been effective to the organization. That already sets the stage for the effectiveness we'll discuss and the results you achieve. But tell us, how did you go about approaching the problem?
So the first part is following the SEC model. I love having the 360 conversations with the peers and understanding what I use the 331 idea of asking those three key questions. And at the same time, asking the individual, what do they aspire to? Have they ever thought about who they want to be 5 years from now or someday goals? And when you start to balance out what feedback you get from people, along with the individual identifying maybe a sense of purpose they never had, especially when they think every 90 days, they seldom think more than that. So my initial process is in parallel, start talking to the other leaders and go deep with the individual client, build some trust, make sure that we are on the same page, because the courage of the stakeholder model does require the humility of standing in front of your peers and saying, I need to improve this. And I need your help.
Yes. You know, something that you do well that I'd love to call out to our audience as well is you do a great job blending stakeholder-centered coaching with your own expertise that you've developed through countless different learning experiences and coaching. Tell us kind of how you package your own your own knowledge into what we do with SCC to deliver such a great program to your clients.
Absolutely. So during COVID, I had a lot of spare time to be online like this. And so I was able to listen to a lot of top thinkers about what they see and how they see things happening. And I started listening and reading a lot of Adam Grant. He does a wonderful job of talking about organizational psychology and development. And the idea of playing and having fun. So my business is called True Cycle because I love the sport of cycling. It's also the fact that every day we have these cycles. We all wake up, we all do these things by habit. And just like a bicycle can move you from one place to another, once you recognize your cycle, you have the opportunity to change a habit, which changes the result. And so the program I built was initially an agile sprint, a 12-week program that we could go in with busy executives. And I modeled it on the AAA of aspiration, ambition, and action, or action, ambition, aspiration, depending on which way you want to go. And by helping somebody identify a purpose and a vision, we then help them create a short-term plan and then break that down to the daily actions. And the referral was specifically based on working with a team of leaders who were not communicating together, yet their service line required. And so using this combination with stakeholder-centered, they each became sort of like a group coaching model before I knew that existed at stakeholder-centered coaching. And we built this program using some creativity. I shared earlier, I use Lego Serious Play. So we actually have some Legos that we play with. We use wood blocks and write on the wood blocks six different things that bring you joy. Have that right on their desk so that when there's a moment that they're stressing out, they can pick up the block and reflect on the fact that just like the sunrise, each day these things happen and you can let go and go to the next thing. So sort of bringing those together became what I call LEAP, which is the Leadership Acceleration Enhancement Program. Just super simple. And my brother-in-law quoted the name, so I always like to give him a shout out. And from that, these individual engagements have started to blossom.
Mm-hmm. That's very cool. I mean, stakeholder-centered coaching is modular. It's an operating system. And I'm so proud is the only word I can come up with when our coaches take things that they know work and mesh them together. Because all that we really do with stakeholder-centered coaching is involving stakeholders and measuring the results. And there's so much freedom outside of that. And the way that you say, you know, what is your aspiration? You use feedback to say, where are you now? Stakeholder-centered coaching as kind of the bridge between them. It's a very effective approach. Now, something you do differently is you bring these threads of your competitive cycling. You bring this creativity. What is kind of the driver for you to be able to bring all of these things together? And then what's the benefit to the end user, the clients who are looking to improve their leadership?
Sure. So one of my favorite parts about stakeholder-centered coaching is the fact that it requires feed forward. You know, the idea of getting better going forward, that you can't change the past. So in my competitive mindset, that's not going it alone, right? If you go it alone, you're going to get burned out. If you go as a team, you have companionship, you have support, you have resources. So bringing those together in, you know, the fact that I guess Emily maybe created the model that I initially received this book. And so it has the idea of a plan. And so I call those waypoints or refueling stops, depending on who I'm talking to, or milestones, just depending on the client. I'll rename it for them specifically because they have to own it. Not me. As they see themselves as part of something more than just the individual, that we are all connected in some way, then we see how goal setting to the now, how having a vision and saying, I have to get through this so I can get to that, and I need these people to support me. That's really the methodology that I've taken from listening to and working with. I was fortunate enough to have some time with Chris early on in my stakeholder career, and just hearing the difference in how Frank and Chris speak, and then watching how they live authentically, right? That they are that person, whether they're on camera like this or out in the community, and how important that is if you're going to help another person undergo change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Go ahead.
No, that was really, I just wanted to wrap that up with the idea of once you picture that change, then you can work to build the trust with the people around you because you're more secure as who you are. Yeah. When we talk about those 20 most worked on things and people identify two or three of them right off the bat, it's because they know energetically when they're around other people, they feel that trigger, right? And so once they recognize that this is something they could actually get their arms around and improve, and instead of it being a negative, it can be turned into an advantage, then the stakeholders are, you know, that, I think that's where my results come in, is that I help them balance a wellness mindset along with a productivity mindset.
Yeah, I mean, you start to talk here about results. Let's kind of jump to that conclusion. You've worked with this leader. You're integrating the LEAP program with the stakeholder centricity from stakeholder center coaching, driving trust, using creativity and teamwork. What happened as a result of this work that you did with the client?
So the initial 6-month survey had really great numbers on what we would call, you know, a plus one is considered great. And this came back at a 2.5. So much greater than I expected. And while the individual, and I ran in a call this morning, was reminded that people often undervalue themselves in the moment.
Wow.
And similarly, this client self-score was lower than their peers. And so they still gave themselves a 1.5, I believe it was, in her self-evaluation. And so then over the next period of time, focusing on getting those on par, helping them see that they are as worthy as their peers see them in the team. And then because, as I shared, this is a female in this leadership role, also owning your growth, owning this skill that you're building and taking credit for it. A lot of the things that How Women Rise mentions come into real action when you're coaching with an executive who's never been an executive, who's never had this opportunity to ascend in an organization. And so the moment that I talk about result-wise that stunned me was the day she called to say, I finally told the person, I'm not going to listen to you talk this way anymore. Here's what my goals are. Either you're going to support me in what I want to achieve, or I can find other work.
Wow.
And
yeah.
It was this, like, I'm like holding, like looking at my phone because I was on the road and I'm like, wow, I can't believe she did that. That's amazing. You know, and from that point, which was about 4 months ago now, on, everything has gotten easier for her.
Yeah.
Because that confidence, that voice, the inner voice has come out. And to me, I love that energy. Like now that's the person that shows up.
Wow. So this is recent. This is months old. Wow. Yes. Okay. Yeah. My goodness. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are listening at home and aren't familiar with our mini survey, it measures changes in perception on a -3 to +3 scale. So every 6 months or every quarter, we go to the stakeholders and say, what changes have you seen in this leader's area of delegation in this case? And they rate it on a -3 to +3. The leaders themselves self-score, but the scores we're looking at are the stakeholder scores. And a 2.5 at a 6-month mark is very, very good. I mean, but that's transformative change in a very short period of time. And then you said that she seems to have unlocked her own self-worth to be able to tell people, here's the way we should be working together. And if you're not on board with that, we're going to have to, Alan Mulally says, that's okay, but there's going to be a change. Good for you and good for her. So 4 months, right. She's got the mini survey scores. What other kind of splash benefits have we seen, right? She's getting the self-confidence and self-worth. What else?
Right. So, you know, it's a business is in business to make money. And so her production is about 30% greater than her peers in her management. Because guess what? When you let go of perfectionist tendencies and start to trust others, there's an opportunity to free up some of your time to do other productive things and allow those people to contribute. And so that senior level associate that can help support the senior managers when they're empowered and they're trained well, allow you the free time to be more productive in other areas. Revenue producing activities, I guess, would be the more appropriate way to put that. And then quality of life. you know, little things like taking self-care more important, you know, whether it's going to get your pain in your leg checked out or getting your teeth cleaned, you know, any of these little things that become burdensome when you think you're always too busy to take care of yourself, yet you're only given one body. And so as soon as somebody recognizes, I only have this vessel, how am I going to treat it? And I always joke with accountants that there's no such thing as a tax emergency. And they like to argue that there's always a deadline. So you can take the time to take care of yourself. And, you know, the other results in there are that perception piece, changing what it's like when you come into work, that you're no longer viewed as this person who's heads down and, you know, just in the mix, that you can be more of your social self.
Yeah, I think the quality of life improvements are so undervalued and under-discussed in coaching, because as coaches, we really need to quantify the impact we're having. But boy, it's hard for the organization. It's sometimes hard for the organization to get excited about the quality of life improvements in the leader, because they want those hard numbers, but it just can't be replaced. So good on you for helping her achieve this. And what other, you know, thinking back on the input from stakeholders as they're reviewing and assessing the changes in perception, what are they talking about qualitatively? What are they noticing or pointing out for her?
So through delegation, some of the basics that, having been in business myself and working in Fortune 500 companies, I have seen is show up with an agenda. Hold to the agenda. Don't leave the meeting without a next step. So she never managed that way previously. And so that makes an immediate impact on her peers, both in terms of the ability to delegate, and also it changes her thinking. When I go there, I have to also think, just like action, ambition, and aspiration, we're going to put this time in. What is the result and what are the next steps? You know, and for our clients, because it's a tax, for her, everything's every 90 days. So we know this cycle is going to keep repeating. So the more you can do that, the more fluid you can become, and therefore the more adaptable. So for me, watching somebody who's ready to quit every time it's busy season because it's too much, to saying, I know it's busy season, my team has it, we're going to get through this, you know, and that's a wonderful shift.
How about her bosses, the sponsors of the engagement? What kind of feedback were you getting in terms of your work with her?
So most of them were, I guess, surprised, which was probably relevant to the scores, is they were surprised that somebody can actually wake up, as they put it, like there was this person in there. And then the productivity works in both directions. So leading up also improved her relationship with those people. So she became more inclusive in the club of information that happens at the upper level than she had ever been. And so she felt a sense of pride in that. And obviously they welcomed her. So that combination sort of happened simultaneous to the growth.
And how about you? What did you learn from working with this leader?
So to me, it's always a reminder of how important it is to keep listening in the process. We get a lot of stories in our head and we have a lot of our own experience that we want to share at times. And so holding back and letting someone unpack a story. And I'm a big believer if somebody grows up as a single child versus having siblings, asking stories about that and hearing how those things connect to how they lead, what their decision style is like in their current model. And so bringing those two things together, to me, it's always a shock. Like, there's really this thread of continuity. And all we did was pluck the thread a little bit and it gave a little vibration that changed something. And that's my favorite part about all of this, is that curiosity of how will this person's brain react? How will the brains around them react? And how are they syncing up?
That's amazing. I love it. Well, you know, there's a group of people at home listening to this, maybe on their way to work, maybe in the gym. But I would posit that quite a few of us, myself included, are working on delegation. So let's start with the group of leaders who need to improve in that area. What kind of advice, based on what you experienced with this leader, might you give to those of us who are working on delegation?
So when it comes to the word delegation, I first ask them to define what it means to them. One of my favorite group exercises is to help people define what does ASAP mean to you. We go around the table. So if somebody says ASAP, and they never say the same thing. And so then we just have that conversation. And I told you, we use the Legos. We bring those out and we build a model for what does this communication need to look like and define it. In terms of the individual, it's really a sense of purpose. If you don't have purpose, delegation becomes very challenging because the layer above purpose is priority. So once you have purpose, and Gary Keller talks about this in his book, The One Thing. They use an iceberg. I've seen lots of different ways people do this. This one, I love the visual of an iceberg because what people see is the top 10%, but the 90% below is based on purpose, then priority. So based on what your purpose is, you prioritize. Based on your priority, you then create productivity. Productivity then leads to what's above the water. So people never see all that work that goes into it. They just see that little bit and go, oh, he's got it so easy. Everything works. You know, they don't recognize the 5 to 10 years it took to build that foundation broad enough to support getting you above the water.
Well, I have to ask, do you give an answer to what the definition of delegation is or definition of ASAP? Is it purely contextual?
I think for everyone, it's themselves, right? Because I utilize like your friend with like DISC or predictive index. I use that behavior profile early on. And if somebody is a high D, high urgency, then they're going to have a totally different definition than someone who's a high S or a C. And so helping them see their natural wiring and saying, okay, when I delegate, my expectations are based on who I am. So that's why the combined definition and interactivity is important. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd say, ladies and gentlemen, pause the video, pause the audio. Think about your own definition of delegation. Get it in your mind. I've got mine. Joseph, can you give us, based on your extensive experience coaching leaders, what would you say, even if it's your own personal definition, what would you say is delegation?
Delegation to me goes back to the idea of, did I do my best to, that statement that's very popular in our organization, and listing what is my priority for my work, for myself, for my family, and those pieces. And if I have truly delegated correctly, I'm moving forward in each of those areas purposefully throughout the day. And so that's how I describe what delegation looks like. Lots of ways to implement it. My favorite thing is to have a paper calendar where you put your priority for delegation on it and you put your personal task on it. Everything else can go in the electronic format, all the other noise, but you have to block out time to actually do what you are going to do and follow up on the things you have delegated. When you're doing that, the rest of it becomes less stressful.
Okay. So you're talking about the daily questions, the daily checklist. What role does that play in your coaching?
So when we talk about having a sense of purpose and a someday goal, if they can picture something in the future, it becomes very important to recognize each day that you're progressing towards that ambitious sort of mid goal. And so I use that as a North Star realignment. Did I do my best to becomes a reflecting moment. You know, the value of thinking time being underestimated by so many, that it's that turn the dial down, go internal and say for 1 minute, did I do my best to this? And as a father of three boys, I recognized a few years ago when they were still teens, and my youngest now is 16, that I was too quick often to, you know, flip the switch. I'm a DS by DISC standards. I have a quick response rate. And so I had a shorter fuse. As I became more into coaching and more aware of it, I kept working on turning that dial down and just being more present, allowing to be amused by the fact that we have three amazing sons, each with their own personality, and they present that differently, right? And then it's exponential when all three of them are together. That to me is the gift of delegating and recognizing, and then using, did I do my best to, is that reflecting? Did I do my best to be present for my sons? You know, tell my wife I love her because she had to put up with all four of us in the process, right? So it's a cumulative process, definitely.
Okay. Well, there's a whole nother group of listeners who are coaches who also are working on delegation. I was on doing an interview yesterday for coaches where the questions were very largely, as a coach, how do you figure out what to delegate in your business? How do you delegate without guilt? And so I know that there is a strong need for this for coaches. What advice would you have for an executive coach listening today saying, I want more of what Joseph has created in this organization?
So find the opposite of who you are, the same way you have a support team for this podcast. And those people sort of fill in those gaps. I just blanked on the name of the guy. Early on, I found this book. There's a coach business guy, and he has a book of checklists. And it's everything he did to build his business. When I look at that, it makes me anxious. I'm not that kind of person who's going to slow down and do all the checklist things. So I seek people who love that. My wife is that kind of a woman where she operates best from a list and gets it all done. You know, here's the process, here's the system and model. The gift of SCC would be that book that came through and said, here's the sequence of events that make this work. So I had that on autopilot. I needed to find someone in my company who will make that on autopilot, right? The communication. And then as one of your more recent podcasts shared, AI also supplements. So going in there and leveraging technology along with the human connection gives that well-rounded ability.
Okay, so seeking parity through, you know, well, what we talked about yesterday, what I had suggested yesterday was find the areas that you're disproportionately skilled or talented, or ones that you're disproportionately interested in learning and also failing, because that's part of the learning process, and then find someone else to do all the other stuff. It sounds like that would be in alignment with your recommendation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have this little Lego reminder from the disc thing on my desk. And it reminds me of the fact that all these pieces work together. And I'm only two of those four pieces. So when I have the right team, I have the full block. But if it's just me, I'm going about it on my own, you know, similar to the whole teaming idea. And so I think every successful organization finds that counterbalance, finds that match, and then things flow a little bit easier. You're less stressed because you know they're in their sweet spot. They're not stressing, and you stay in your lane.
If I wanted to pick up a resource to learn more about being an effective delegator, is there a podcast you'd recommend, a book, a YouTube series, a course, anything?
I mean, my favorite, and I used to coach for them, is The One Thing by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. And it's so simple, 158, 59 pages. Read it once just to read it, and then read it again thinking about delegation. And it has the focusing question. And the focusing question is, what's one thing I can do or eliminate, rather, that would make my life easier or unnecessary in this area? And when you start to do that, what you're doing is creating a job description for someone else. And now you know who you're looking for.
I like that a lot. Yes. Yes. Look, that beautiful. Joseph, it is such a joy to get to speak with you again. I very much enjoy the way that you're able to integrate what you have done for so many years so well across competitive cycling, across your very, very lucrative career in real estate and the other areas that you've touched. So I have to thank you, of course, for being on this interview. If I am a leader sitting at home wanting to get better at delegation, I want more of what you do. How can people get in touch with you, follow your story, or even just learn more about you?
So the easiest is joseph@mytruecycle.com or my website. We have truecyclecoaching.com, and we have a LMS, a learning management online, at mytruecycle.com.
Awesome. Joseph, last question is, if you could leave our audience with one thing to remember, what would that be?
Stay curious and have fun. I think that this is a quick journey, our life, and curiosity and fun go hand in hand.
We explored the coaching process that helped a leader transition from perfectionism to empowerment with a little help from our guest, Joseph Lerner. Our discussion highlighted the power of blending a standardized coaching approach with the tailored personalization of the process. We got to see the impact of stakeholder feedback and the remarkable journey of self-discovery and growth. We hope today's episode inspires you to reflect on your own leadership style and the potential for transformation through coaching. Remember, all the case studies of this season are available for download at mgscc.net/case-studies. The link can also be found in the episode description. And if you'd like to better understand the foundations of leveraging stakeholders and measuring results in your coaching, then join the free training program, Foundations of Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, where we share the philosophies and frameworks that guarantee improved leadership effectiveness in 12 months or less. You can register for the free course at mgscc.net/foundations-course. Until next time, this has been another episode of Conversations with Coaches by Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. Thank you for joining the conversation, and stay tuned for more stories of leadership transformation.